Our sermon today is a continuation of the scripture that we heard from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. This is verses 8 through 19. The Rechabites continued, "We have obeyed the charge of our ancestor Jonadab, son of Rechab, in all that he commanded us, to drink no wine all our days, ourselves, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, and not to build houses to live in. We have no vineyard or field or seed, but we have lived in tents and have obeyed and done all that our ancestor Jonadab commanded us. But when King Nebuchadrezzar of Babylon came up against the land, we said, 'Come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and the army of the Arameans.' That is why we are living in Jerusalem." Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, 'Can you not learn a lesson and obey my word?' says the Lord. The command has been carried out that Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave to his descendants to drink no wine, and they drink none to this day, for they have obeyed their ancestors' command. But I myself have spoken to you persistently, you have not obeyed me. I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them persistently, saying, 'Turn now, every one of you, from your evil way, and amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them, and then you shall live in the land that I gave to you and your ancestors.' But you did not incline your ear or obey me. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the command that their ancestor gave them, but this people has not obeyed me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, I am going to bring on Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem every disaster that I have pronounced against them. Because they have spoken to them and they have not listened, I have called to them and they have not answered. But to the house of the Rechabites, Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the command of your ancestor Jonadab and kept all his precepts, and have done all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, son of Rechab, shall not lack a descendant to stand before me for all time." Lord God, we stand before you this day, ready to hear and obey your commands. We just missed it. Last Sunday was Talk Like a Pirate Day. It would have been perfect for today's sermon, which brings us to the letter R in our Through the Bible A to Z sermon. R, mateys, I want to share with you my favorite pirate pun. How much does it cost a pirate to get his ears pierced?
Tell us.
A buccaneer. Sorry. But anyway, I have to say I have always admired the Rechabites. I admire them for sticking to their guns and for the way the whole clan kept up that 300-year-old tradition handed down from their ancestor, Jonadab, son of Rechab, not to drink wine, not to build houses, to cultivate no fields, plant no vineyards, to live in tents. It's going to be Thanksgiving soon. That's a day full of festive family traditions. What Turkey Day traditions does your family have? Maybe only mom makes the turkey with that special recipe for the stuffing, and maybe only dad or grandpa does the carving. Maybe one aunt is in charge of the pumpkin pies, and all the kids decorate with those turkeys made by drawing an outline around their hands. Traditions traditionally get handed down from one generation to the next, but sometimes there's a deviation. We may forget, or we may decide a new tradition is more fun. You have to admire the Rechabites for following their ancient tradition, even in the face of temptation. God instructed the prophet Jeremiah to bring some of them, probably the patriarch and his oldest sons, to the temple, to an inner chamber, and to entice them with an offer of wine, as much wine as they wanted. And of course, the temple probably had the best wine of all. As it freely flowed and Jeremiah placed the cups before the Rechabites, those watching wondered, would they give in to temptation? Would they think, well, God's prophet is offering us wonderful wine in God's own house. Surely it wouldn't hurt us to indulge just this once. After all, they'd already gone against one of Jonadab's injunctions. They were currently living in the city of Jerusalem instead of on the outskirts of town in their tents. but they had a good excuse. King Nebuchadrezzar had laid siege to the city and the surrounding countryside, and the Rechabites decided it would be best if they took shelter in Jerusalem, fortified as it was by a wall. Ooh, here's a sneak peek for next week. We'll learn more about the wall in Jerusalem next week. Technically, the Rechabites didn't build the houses they now lived in. Most likely, they were renting or otherwise occupying lodgings inside the city. But you know how it can be. If you let one little thing slide, sometimes it's easier to let the next thing slide, and the next, until suddenly it's a free-for-all, and all your resolves are forgotten. Like trying to give up eating stuff that's bad for you. You sail along for a while doing really well, and then you think, I've been doing so well, one little piece of chocolate won't hurt. And then it's, well, one hamburger won't hurt, or one soda. And the next thing you know, all your good intentions blow up in your face. And you have to start all over from square one or give up altogether. The Rechabites looked at Jeremiah. They looked at the people in the chamber with them. They looked at the wine cups, and they said no. After all these hundreds of years, they were not about to forsake or forget their ancestors' admonishment. It was tempting, but they stayed strong. God held the Rechabites up to the Israelites as a lesson in loyalty. Here these people were, adhering to the decree of an ancestor long dead and gone. Jonadab wouldn't know whether or not his descendants had kept to his command. Why had he made it in the first place? Well, no one's really sure. Rechab was related to Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro was a shepherd, a nomad whose family lived in tents. Some speculate Jonadab told his family not to drink wine or build houses because he wanted them to adhere to the simple, pristine practices the Israelites followed when they were wandering in the desert with Moses. Some speculate Jonadab wanted them to forego the temptations of city life by refusing to drink and possibly get drunk, to resist the lure of riches and materialism by not building houses. They were to stay close to and connected with the land, living a nomadic life without frills or luxuries. Perhaps Jonadab thought an austere lifestyle would make them stronger, better people. He didn't want his family to become city soft and succumb to a life of ease and revelry. Their living arrangements certainly made them independent and self-sufficient. They believed their sobriety was sacred. Wine is the symbol of a settled life because it takes time to make wine from grapes that take years to grow, and then the wine needs years to mature. Nomads can't make wine. They don't settle down. The Rechabites had to be content with tents. And they were. Perhaps the Rechabites just really, really liked remaining apart and living separately from other people. I imagine that very apartness made people either scorn or ridicule them or both. I imagine the Israelites living safe in their city, drinking their wine and having themselves a fine old time. They probably thought the Rechabites were at best odd and at worst ignorant. They could look down their noses at them and laugh at them for refusing to give up their old ways and come into the 4th century BC. They were so unsophisticated, so rustic, so not with it, not at all like the Israelites. And yet God chose the Rechabites to admonish the Israelites. They stood out from all those around them in much the same way God wanted God's chosen people, the Israelites, to stand out from among all those around them, to turn their backs on the idols and their abominable worship practices, and to proclaim their allegiance to the one God of all. The Israelites may have looked down on Jonadab's family, but God held them in high esteem, especially when holding their actions in contrast to what the Israelites did or didn't do. Over and over and over, God had sent prophets to call the Israelites to loyalty. Loyalty like the Rechabites displayed. Over and over and over, God had sent prophets to call the Israelites to follow God's commands and God's laws and receive a promise, quite like the Rechabites had gotten from Jonadab, a promise to live for a long, peaceful time in the land to which God had brought them. You may look down on the Rechabites, God said, but in reality, they are far better, way better than you. But they will get their reward. Can't you learn something from them? take a good look at how faithful they have been over these hundreds of years. All of them, not one of them has gone astray or forsaken their family tradition. They are living in obedience to a long dead human leader. Here I am, the great living God of the universe, and you can't even stay loyal to me? You're always running after other gods, thinking they will help you more than I can, thinking they will bless you, even though they're false and useless. God's patience was wearing thin. At long last, God had given up on the Israelites. Now God had no choice but to send punishment to them. Maybe that would get their attention. Maybe a taste of exile would get their attention. As they were sent away from God's presence, they would see a painful reality that the Rechabites would be rewarded with the honor of always having someone in service to God. The Rechabites would be spared the coming punishment because of their faithfulness. That fierce fidelity and uncompromising loyalty was the trademark of the Rechabites. They'd come into the city when the Chaldeans invaded it, but they hadn't forgotten their outside-the-wall behaviors. The Rechabites followed simple rules. Don't drink wine, don't build houses, live in tents. They'd obeyed those rules a long time, no use stopping now. How were the Rechabites able to stay so steadfast? They encouraged one another. They set the standards for their children, and they talked about those standards all the time. They set a good example for them. The children grew up hearing about their ancestor and knowing about the command he had given. It was ingrained. Everyone abstained and no one complained. They didn't boast about it. They just did what they knew was the right thing for them. They were proud to do it in the name of their ancestor, to truly live out the fifth commandment, which says, "Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land the Lord your God is giving you." If only Israel had felt the same way about God. The Rechabites paid attention and gave homage to a dead ancestor who could no longer lead, instruct, or inspire them. The Israelites ignored a living God who wanted nothing but good for them and the attention and the homage due him. There was, of course, more to God's laws and rules than what Jonadab had enjoined, but they really boiled down to just one: serve and worship the one God and no one else. It's a lesson for us all. As much as we may admire the Rechabites for their resilience and tenacity, we are compelled to look at ourselves and our relationship with God. Are we serving and worshiping God with mind, heart, soul, and spirit? Are we resisting the temptation in the beautiful cups set before us? Anger, hatred, greed, indifference. These cups that the world places before us, urging us to go ahead, drink up. Everybody else is. The Rechabites rested their eyes on an ancestor of the past who still influenced their lives. It's as if they didn't want to disappoint him after all these years. It's as if none of them wanted to be the one to break the chain of obedience after all these years. They took great pride in that, and well, they should. They had their house, their family, to encourage them and help them stay true to their pact. We turn our eyes to someone who, though he lived in the past, still is with us in the very present, alive and watching and assisting and leading us who claim him as Lord and Savior. It is to Jesus that we return to learn. It is on Jesus that we lean, and from Jesus that we glean the right way to walk on our journey of faith. And all around us are the many members of our house, our family, fellow followers of Christ, walking with us and helping us and upholding us, encouraging us and assuring us that the way we are going is the path that leads to God's kingdom. Our mates, you Rechabites, thank you for the lesson you have taught us to resist and persist and insist on being faithful and true no matter what. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for sending us the Rechabit story to enhance our own. May we be as strong and steadfast in our commitment to you as they were in their commitment to their founding father, Jonadab. But we claim you as our living God, our right here, right now, God. Continue speaking to us through your prophets, through the gift of your word, and through the life and legacy of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray today. Amen.